past few weeks, I've had a few conversations with various people that have turned to the topic of relationships, and mostly about how vital and important their relationships and the people in their lives are. I kind of got to thinking about some of my friends from high school. There was Travis and Adam and Mike, and I think about how I so rarely get to see them, that I don't get to, you know, visit. Travis ended up staying pretty close to home. In fact, he now lives in his grandparents' house, which is only about 2 miles away from my house, where my parents are in. But in all the years of going back, we've never met up. We've never connected. But Adam, we actually saw each other at a gas station. I was in town visiting for something. I don't remember what. But he spotted me and yelled my name, and we got a big hug, and how you doing? And Adam's kind of the one I least expected to see at that time, because he's a physician's assistant at a hospital in New York City. So seeing him was one I was really surprised about. But then my other friend, good friend from high school, Mike, it's probably been a decade or more ago that he passed away. He had chews since he was in high school and never could stop, and got cancer of his jaw, and they did all kinds of surgeries and things that I don't even know if I can explain, and he ultimately passed away a little over a decade ago. It seems like relationships are those things that we value most, especially as we get older. I think we find our great joy in the people that we're connected with, and a desire to reconnect with those that we've long lost and haven't seen in many years. Today we're going to be looking at kind of a follow-up to a verse we looked at last week, Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Paul says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." I mentioned last week about that word peace, and how when Paul uses it here, he is, of course, using the Hebrew approach, because that's what he is, a Hebrew. And Paul is talking about life as it was intended to be, a relationship with God as God always wanted it to be. That because of Jesus and what he's done and his sacrifice for us, we have a relationship with God that's just the way it was intended. I want to dive deeper into that idea today about a restored relationship. So in order to talk about the restoration, we have to talk about the brokenness of it. If you're following the biblical story, we're talking about the original sin that brought death into the world. But in reality, every single person at some point in their lives, maybe many points in their lives, chooses sin as well. We choose to break God's rules. Sometimes we even know we're going to do it, and we choose it anyway. That kind of rebellion breaks a relationship with God. Colossians chapter 1, starting with verse, get it here, verse 21 says, "Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you to by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation." As we dive in, I want to clarify one of the words that's used, a small phrase there in verse 21, because you can really kind of go the wrong direction with it if you're not aware that there's an issue there. So what Paul writes and what we have in the NIV is that we are enemies in our minds because of our evil behavior. The phrase "because of" there is a rough translation. It's hard to pick exactly the right way to convey it. But it doesn't mean that your behavior makes your mind something. It's actually the reverse. What Paul is using is evidence. He says the evidence that our minds or our hearts are rebellious against God is that we live lives contrary to what God wants. He says the evidence is in the life that we live. So Paul here, as I've clarified, is stating this, that we were once alienated from God. We were enemies of his. But it was an enemy in the mind, the way we think, the way our hearts desire. And the evidence of us having minds and hearts that were astray and far from God was the behavior that we lived in. You could read that verse and you could come to the conclusion that every time you sinned, your relationship with God is then broken, and then you have to come back again and be saved again in order to have a right relationship with God. But that's not the way the verse is intended, not what Paul was trying to convey. He doesn't mean that every time a person sins, a Christian, that their relationship with God falls apart. He's actually saying that before we became Christians, and our lives were being lived in the worldly ways, that was the evidence that we weren't related to God. Verse 23 then goes on, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body. There are some who doubt that Jesus ever existed. There are some that doubt that Jesus really died. Paul is making the point here that Jesus died. His physical body was on the cross, and it was the means by which God paid for our sin. It was a true, real, physical death in our world. He says then, to present you in his sight, excuse me, holy in his sight. So that when we stand before God, we are holy. Does that feel like an awkward word to call yourself? Holy? It might. You might think of like Catholic saints or something like that. Maybe your mind runs to, you know, a particular thing that's venerated and thought very highly of. But you are holy. You stand before God holy, without sin. It's the reason why you can be in his presence, because through Jesus' death, you have been made holy. It's the reason why Paul calls Christians saints. A saint is a holy person, and that defines every single one who's put their faith in Jesus Christ. You are saints. Yeah. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? Let me make one other note. Paul never calls a Christian a sinner. Very often we talk about ourselves as sinners still, but Paul never uses that. They're always called saints. Flawed as they are, Peter was certainly a flawed saint. But nonetheless, we are holy in his sight. Paul then explains what this holiness means. That we are without blemish. You know, they make those things you can put on your face that's supposed to take away your age marks and your blemishes. I have a bottle of that stuff. It works, but I rarely use it. We stand before God without a blemish. Our soul is without spot, without wrinkle, without age. It is beautiful before the Lord. But more than that, we are also free from accusation, as Paul says. When we stand before the Lord, there is no accusation that can come against us that will succeed. Though the devil may try, though our enemies may persist, we stand before the Lord free from accusation, that nothing of our sinful choices will be heard in God's courtroom. That's what it means for Jesus to have taken on our sin. This means that our relationship with God is now put back in the position that it was always intended to be. That we are now in God's presence and in His sight, exactly the way God intended, as if sin had never happened. As we think about these words, we want to give another little thought to a couple of verses from 2 Corinthians. Chapter 5, verse 18 says, "All of this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God has reconciled the world to Himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us." Paul here is bringing his ongoing discussion to this fine point. That we now have a relationship with God as He intended it to be. Very often we think about salvation as a ticket to heaven. Very often it's explained that way or we think that way. But that's not really how the Bible talks about it. The Bible over and over and over again emphasizes that it's a relationship that is restored. It's the reason why when Jesus is giving the Sermon on the Mount, that He over and over and over again refers to God as Father. And not just Father that we think of with the six-letter words. No, Abba, Daddy. Isn't that the way that you want to have a relationship with a dad? Some dads are offended if they get called father, like it's a curse word. You're my father, but you're not my dad, because my dad really hears me and loves me and knows me, but no, you're my father. Oh yes, sometimes it feels that way to use the word father. But Jesus encourages His followers to call God Daddy. A restored relationship. The relationship that it was intended to be. But God has also made us ambassadors, His spokesperson, so that we can extend that kind of reconciliation to those whom we come across. Our friends, our family, so that they might all enjoy this relationship with God renewed. I don't know if the three friends of mine that I named at the beginning are going to be in heaven when I get there. I tried with a couple of them persistently. Travis, I know, started going to church after he got married, but I don't think the others did. My great joy will be to find out that at some point they each came to have a restored relationship with God. Because I know I'm not going to see Mike unless that's the case. Might never see Adam or Travis again. But I have this joy of a reconciled relationship with God. And I hope someday that I'll get to meet up with those who I cannot see today then. Sometimes in our relationship with God, we can get the feeling like God doesn't love us or care for us. Maybe because of choices we have made or are continuing to make. But if we cling to Christ, if we are in a relationship with God, He's not a distant father and judge, but He's a daddy who wants to see His kids come home. Let's pray. Lord, we are so amazed at the overwhelming love that you show us. That day after day, you continue to seek this relationship with us. Lord, we're thankful that you sent your one and only begotten Son to die on the cross so that we might be the millions and millions of sons and daughters who call you Daddy. Lord, help us to grow and mature so that we too will be people who want to share that same reconciliation with others. Help us to be your ambassadors, speaking your words of grace and love into a world of people who long to have a dad who loves them. Lord, give us all the resources and gifts that we need so that we can do your great work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.